Welcome to Naomi's Table, a Bible-based program just for women, where seasoned Naomis nurture young roots with real scriptural food for the spirit, encouraging and equipping your walk in biblical womanhood. Grab a Bible, pull up a chair, and invite your friends. There's plenty of room at Naomi's Table.
Difference between right, wrong, right, almost right. You get the idea. So we're going to be doing that, and in just a moment we're going to be inviting a guest to the table, our friend Lori Williams, and a lot of you ladies know her as our Google Plus director, and she moderates the comments there with Beth Seifert. So we'll have her at the table in just a moment, and we're going to open some scripture.
And we love opening scripture for our daily Bible study. That's going to be coming up after Lori. So pretty shortly here, Beth Seifert is going to be here with today's lesson in the book of Romans. And then Amy and I will discuss what she shares with us and see what we can learn from that.
Yeah, we've got Beth doing double duty these days for the whole month of December. Not only is she doing our Romans Bible study, Nancy, she's also doing our December Advent devotionals, these little two-minute devotionals with beautiful music provided to us, by the way, by harp player Audrey Nowak. She's here in the Green Bay area as well. And they've put together these devotionals to help young people learn about how to memorize little bits of scripture and understand what this Christmas season is truly about. Well, Nancy, I think it's time to talk about discernment, and to do that, we've invited Lori Williams to the table, and here's that interview we had with Lori. Well, Lori, welcome back to the table, my friend. Glad you are here.
Hi, Amy. It's always good to be here. Thank you.
Well, we want to talk about discernment today and why it is so important. Initial thoughts on that. What does discernment mean to you?
Well, you know, discernment seems to be such a topic that we need to cover and address, and it's just so important because, you know, essentially what discernment is being able to tell the truth from error and distinguishing what's right and wrong. And, you know, obviously that's going to be based on the truth of God's word. And so if you're not doing that, then you sort of start to run into postmodernism, which is where everybody can have their own truth, everything is relevant, and, you know, whatever's good for you is good for you, and it's not based on any other moral standard. So,
right.
You know, discernment, you know, really comes into play as we guide, you know, not only our moral compass, but our, you know, decisions of how we're going to, you know, view life. I mean, we either view it through the lens of scripture or you end up making your own truth.
Yeah, and I think really deep down, we all desire to make sure that we're not deceived. Nobody really wants that, but of course our flesh can get in the way too of our discernment filters, can't it?
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, it's a thing that we should always be practicing, and we should always be looking, you know, in through things through that focus, but we're going to mess up. I mean, we're going to, you know, stumble into some things that maybe aren't the best things for us to be reading or watching or listening to. But as long as we're on that upward path of trying to, you know, be with the Lord, walking in holiness, and growing in our state of our, you know, our Christian view of how we're going to look at things, then that's the goal. We don't want to, you know, be doing a decreasing pattern of looking at things through the lens of, you know, the biblical scripture and whatnot. As we make our decisions.
Yeah, and I know that Scripture talks about this. You know, Ephesians in the fourth chapter talks about how we can be tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. And that's talking about people who are deceived within Christianity, within the church. So let's talk about some of the things that can happen to us if we don't practice discernment.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly right, because, you know, like you just said, Ephesians 4:14, you know, we can be at risk of that, of being, you know, carried away by every wind of doctrine. So that's why we have to stay grounded in the Word, because there's so many things out there right now, especially. It just seems like they put the Christian label on it, and, you know, they're expecting that evangelical world to, you know, flock to the latest Christian movie. And you know, we saw that happen with the Noah movie that came out with Russell Crowe. You know, they called it Christian, and it was supposed to be a Bible story. And had they stuck to the script of Scripture, then it would not have been a problem. But as we know, they took liberties with it. And if you didn't know the story of Noah and you hadn't been reading the Word, probably took that as, well, that must be how it all went down in the Bible, you know, and they're going to use that as their you know, I guess, bar of truth to what they're going to think about on the story of Noah. But as Christians and, you know, as believers, we need to be guarded against that so that we aren't tossed here and there by every, you know, wave of doctrine, as it says. And we want to examine everything carefully, holding fast to that which is good and abstain from every form of evil, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22. And I think a good example of that, and I know you guys have talked about it a lot, you know, is the Jesus Calling devotionals.
Yes.
You know, that seems to be so popular right now where everybody is reading that, or it may be a Beth Moore study or something that like that, where there's going to be some truth mixed in with a lot of error. And if you're not discerning and if you're not realizing that, you know, Jesus didn't actually say this in the Bible, but, you know, someone like Sarah Young or whoever is claiming that they heard Jesus say this, well, there's a fine line there. You've got to be able to distinguish what is it that she's saying she heard versus what is it that Jesus actually said in the Bible. So, you know, if you're not rooted in the Bible and in the Word, that could go right over your head. You know, I mean, you could easily read that devotional and think that what she's saying is true. And so that's just a good example of something that, you know, you could get, you know, tossed here and there by. You know, and there's other things that we've kind of talked about. Jesus yeah. culture, the common, you know, it seems to be like books, music, and movies seem to be the areas where Christians kind of, you know, get tripped up in their discernment factor. And I don't really know the specific reason by that. It may just be the marketing of how all of it comes across, because they do say this is Christian, this is, you know, they'll put some scriptures in there and it'll sound good and you'll think that, you know, everything is on the up and up. But then when you really look at it, you know, you, Jesus culture is part of the, you know, New Apostolic Reformation movement, and they're very heavily into word of faith and signs and wonders, healings, and all that stuff. So, you know, you may listen to some of their music and pick up on something that sounds like what you might have read in the Bible, but then if you keep on listening and then you look at the trajectory of the direction they go and what message they share, well, you'll see that it's something different than what Jesus taught.
Yes. So, and I don't yeah. know why that is, that entertainment seems to ensnare us, especially as women, because I think it may be in many cases well-intentioned. You know, we really want Hollywood to produce films about Christianity and films about the Bible, you know, that kind of thing. And we want that to be true so that we can, and maybe it's laziness on our part where, you know, if I can just invite a friend to that, then I don't have to do any of the legwork of actually reading the Bible and sharing my faith with them. Maybe seeds will be planted just from this. And the problem is that when you have bad seeds or seeds that don't line up with Scripture, that's a problem, because then very different fruit will result of that. And you just can't unsee the images that aren't truly the Bible, but they're Hollywood kind of made up fiction, and you don't ever unsee that. And it's very hard later on when you perhaps do begin to follow Christ, and you can't remember what was true and what wasn't. And that image I have in my head of mm-hmm. Noah or the characters in the Bible miniseries, which we know really wasn't biblical Christianity as far as you know, the staying true to Scripture, it became right. a very different Bible that they were talking about.
Yeah.
So that's a problem, and that's especially a problem for those who don't know the Word. But even for those of us who do, it's very hard to unsee the false once we've gotten a taste of it, isn't it?
That's exactly right. You know, I mean, I even think about things that I either thought about Scripture in the past because of what I had been taught. You know, things even like cavemen and whatnot, you know, I mean, yeah. I was taught that that was, that's how everything kind of came about. And once I, you know, went back to Scripture after I got saved and read everything for myself, I thought, this doesn't make any sense, you know, like, why would God have created us fully formed and functioning only to make us digress back to be cavemen, you know what I mean? So, but that's what I had been taught, and those were the images that I had seen in movies and, you know, even like the timelines of dinosaurs and things like that. I had all of that messed up because I was relying on Hollywood, you know, to tell me, well, this is what this is about. And so, like you said, once you get it in your mind, then that's kind of what you're lining everything up against. And had I, you know, looked at that from scripture, then I would have known that that was wrong. But there I was, you know, but that was, you know, obviously as an unbeliever before I, you know, had my eyes open to truth. But as you said, you know, as Christians, we can fall into that trap. You know, I think the problem comes in is when we're habitually falling into that trap. We need to kind of look and see why is that happening. But, you know, it's going to happen from time to time. There's going to be authors out there and books that are written that someone's going to recommend to you. And yeah. On the surface, it's probably going to look, you know, pretty good. But, you know, I have found several times where if you start kind of digging a little deeper and investigating, then there's things in that book or there's people that person is going to quote favorably. And just an example that's kind of will show you what I'm talking about is, you know, with the book Crazy Love by Frances Chan. That mm-hmm. was really, really popular. And a lot of Christian women were reading it several years ago. And I had never read it, but when someone told me, you know, go look at who he's quoting in there, and then I got to looking, and he had quoted, you know, Shane Claiborne and Henry Nouwen. And so those guys are very emergent New Age, and he was quoting them favorably. And so that, you know, had I not looked into that, I would have probably skipped over those names and some of their teaching and not realized that that was in the book. And, you know, you always just want to be guarding against that false teaching that could be trickled in with something that has some good points in it.
Yeah, you know, years ago, I read The Shack when it first came out, and mm-hmm. I was not, I don't think I had even ever read the Bible. I was, like you, Lori, I was a false convert, yeah. And, you know, I thought I liked, you know, being a church person, but didn't really know who Jesus was. And I picked up a copy of The Shack and started reading it. I recommended it to a couple of people.
Yep.
And once I began my journey into biblical Christianity and understanding the scriptures, I actually had to make a few phone calls and say, hey, you know that book I lent you quite a few years ago? Well, you know, but it's okay to do that. And it's okay to learn and repent and say, wow, I had no idea that I possibly, by recommending this, was leading somebody astray to a very different Jesus and a very different gospel. So, I've had to backtrack a little bit on that myself.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, because we actually did the same thing with the same book. the year before we were saved, someone had given it to us, actually, like, you know, premarital counseling and biblical, I guess, marriage counseling. Someone had given it to us through that. So that speaks volumes of who that counselor was, you know, but that's what they were recommending, that will fix your marriage if you just read The Shack. And we did the same thing. We read it. We're like, oh, we love this. And, you know, I should have, but again, I was a false convert during that time, but yeah, we gave that as Christmas presents to all of our family. And so the next year when we got saved and we realized, whoa, this is completely off, we had to do the same thing. We went back and, you know, said we need that back or toss it in the trash, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be a really good witnessing opportunity, because it shows a lot of humility to have to go back and say, I was wrong, you know, and then be able to tell the person, here's why this was wrong and here's why I don't recommend this book anymore. And so, you know, the Lord can use those opportunities to bring glory to Him in that.
Yeah. You know, and I'm just thinking, boy, I've got a lot of work to do here, because you and I have just mentioned quite a few titles of books and movies where we're seeing problems. I'm going to go ahead and do some digging and pull up some articles that we've written before just to help people understand where the errors are. Now, we're not trying to attack teachers or authors or anything like that. What we're trying to do is compare what's being written about and said and filmed, if you will, to the actual scripture. So we're going to put that out there, some research links on The Shack, the Bible miniseries, all those things that we've just mentioned we'll have on our website today, naomistable.com. And having said that, Laura, I want to mention one more that's coming up, and it's called The Red Tent. And if you've never read that novel before, years and years ago, that came out very popular. It's had quite a few revisions and, you know, kind of re-releases. It's the story of Dinah, but, you know, there's not much written about Dinah. She's the daughter of Leah and her aunt Rachel, and, of course, you know, she's a very famous family there, her father Jacob. So they've made a Hollywood movie out of it, and it's going to be premiering very soon, I understand, on Lifetime. It's going to be a TV series, The Red Tent, and, of course, The Red Tent being the place where women would go back then to when they had their periods, their menstrual cycle. They separated themselves from the men. They were unclean, and they'd go into this tent and tell stories and be there for a while. So unfortunately, with not only the book but the movie, it takes extreme liberties and inserts things that never happened in Scripture. And again, the danger in these, you know, are you sinning if you watch them? Well, not necessarily, but understand that you don't unsee it, and you're filling your mind and your heart and your soul with things that are false about God and about the Scriptures. So you have to decide, and you have to discern whether or not that's going to be something that edifies you and, quite frankly, glorifies God.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, that's you said it perfectly, because, you know, it is. We, as visual people, you know, I mean, women are often visual and, you know, by nature a lot more communicative and all of that. And so those images and those things will stay in our mind, and like you said, whether it's good or bad, it's still there, you know. So you want to make sure, is this something that I want to even have to battle through? I hear a lot of people use that phrase, eat the meat, spit out the bones. You know, sometimes it's not worth having to, you know, digest your meal that way. You know, it's not worth having to pick out the bones just to get, you know, a couple scraps of truth out of, you know, something that Hollywood has produced. There's some people that are fine doing that, and if that's the case, you know, that's okay if that's something they want to do, I guess. But it just seems like a long road to the same means of the end, I guess, right? When you can just go watch something that has the gospel in it, that is true to Scripture. And there are some good filmmakers out there doing that. You know, Rich Cristiano is one that we highly recommend his films, because he always puts the gospel in there, of the ones that we've seen. And that's kind of what he claims, even when you talk to him. They are definitely in the direction of wanting to make good family films that have a message. It's not just a sweet, clean family movie. It's going to be a movie that will present the gospel in it. So, you know, when there's things like that are out there, and there's good pastors writing books, there's, you know, great music out there, like the Gettys and the Sovereign Joy and those types of things, you know, why not support those things and just fill your mind with that rather than having to shuffle through the Hollywood maze, you know, within these movies and stuff to kind of just get a little sense of, I guess, entertainment and then grab a scrap of truth. It just kind of seems, I don't want to say pointless, but it just seems like a harder route to get truth from, you know?
Yeah. And I've heard that saying before, too, Lori. Like you said, eating the meat and spitting out the bones, is that really the best we can do? And I know a lot of moms listen to our program, and you might be tempted to say, well, and I know moms are pretty protective of their kids. I know I am, and continue to be, even though mine are older. But imagine, you know, having meat with bones in it. Would you give that to your toddler? Well, of course, the answer is no, you wouldn't do that. The same with younger Christians, newer women in the faith. To give them something like a red tent book or watch the movie or something, a lot of bones in there. How do you know which bones to spit out? And think about this. There are no such bones that you'd ever have to spit out in Scripture. So look for things that don't have bones in them, I would say, that do line up with Scripture. And I know you've got some additional advice and tips as well.
I do, and, you know, just to kind of give some scripture along with what we're talking about, you know, we want to be like the Bereans. I mean, that's what they were doing. They were testing everything and seeing, you know, if these things were so. And it's Acts 17:11, you know, it says, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, so they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And, you know, when you think about what that is telling us, we are supposed to be testing everything against the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up, then that's your answer, you know? And And the more that you stay in the Word and the more that you're reading it, your mind will be renewed with those truths, and you'll be able to point out error very quickly. That's a good way to, you know, progress in the area of discernment. But, you know, I often hear people say, can someone continually be, undiscerning on a regular basis? And I would say the answer to that is no. I mean, it says very clearly in Proverbs 2:3-6, basically talking about, it says, cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as the hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So he tells us right there, you know, basically to be praying and asking for wisdom, and he will give it. So if you're routinely praying and reading the Word, but yet the two just don't go together. I mean, you can't be doing those things and then continually picking up, purpose-driven lies and Jesus calling, and these types of popular books, Heaven is for Real. You know, you won't be drawn to those types of material and that type of, literature. They just don't mingle. Those are light and dark, to a large degree. And, I was kind of talking to my husband about this last night, and he was saying, if you're continually falling into the habit of undiscernment, he's like, either that person is not in the faith or the Holy Spirit isn't doing his job. Mm-hmm. And clearly it's not the latter.
Right,
So the Holy Spirit is always going to come through and reveal truth and wisdom and knowledge to us. Because we'll seek for it and, be able to discern. But, I think that's a really good kind of marker to kind of gauge where someone might be at. And if you see that happening in someone's life where, again, it's a habitual, continual thing where they're diving into, false teaching or false activities like yoga, things like that, you want to maybe approach that, carefully with them. But also, you might need to start witnessing to them as well, because they may not be in the faith. Because typically, if it's a young believer, from what I have found, they're very teachable. And if they slip up and they're doing something, or reading something that's not a good book that they should be reading, from what I've seen, they take that, rebuke or that warning very seriously, and they will, toss that material and engage in something that is more biblical. That's kind of in my experience from what I've seen for the true believers, young believers that may just be falling into, some of this early on in the faith. They seem to be very, very teachable and want to, not be reading stuff that's going to harm them.
Yes, and that is such a great point, Lori. And we need to be willing to say to the Lord, Lord, help me discern, because I really don't know what I'm supposed to be looking for in this material or in this movie. Can you, Holy Spirit, make it clear to me that your Word is not what this particular thing is teaching? And he will. He's faithful to do that. But interestingly, one of the things that I do is I look behind the scenes and I look for, who are these authors or who are these movie theater people hanging out with, that kind of thing. And I am not a kind of person who really accuses guilt by association. But
right.
However, there is such a thing as red flags from affiliation. So when people are holding hands and saying that they are like-minded with others that are not true to the Word of God, then there can be some red flags and some discussion. So we have to be careful. We have to make sure that we're doing our diligence, our research, and taking everything to Scripture.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And I think about that, because I hear some people, if their pastor, from the pulpit might, quote someone that you're going, "Ooh, I'm uncomfortable with that." Go approach him. Maybe he's not aware who that person is, or maybe he didn't realize, what other things that person has written or the connections that person has to, Willow Creek or, Leadership Summit or whatever it is. He may not realize that, and he may have just spoke out of turn. Let's give people the benefit of the doubt first and, go approach him, see what they say. And that's really the best way to kind of, deal with that whenever it comes up. Because like you said, you don't want to be doing guilt by association and, he quoted him, And so now he's bad too. You know, he's inherited.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not what we want to be doing, obviously. But you know, there's ways that we can go about approaching it, and then from there, whatever answer you get, that's how you need to respond at that point. But you know, there's great, you know, ways to search out things to see if, you know, this latest Bible study is going to be okay, or if, you know, this new book that's on the bestseller or sitting at your Christian bookstore is okay to read. You know, I know you're familiar with Tim Challies at challies.com, and he
yes.
reviews a ton of books.
He's very, very helpful. We'll put that link up on our website today, too.
Yeah, he's kind of a good go-to resource where, you know, if it's pretty popular out there in the world, he's going to probably have covered it. So, you know, that's a good place to start. I know a lot of women are looking for practical tips of how to discern. And, you know, use the Internet. Use the Internet for good because there's some great websites out there. You know, our friend Kim Silva, who just recently passed with apprising.org, that's an excellent, excellent website to search out if, you know, somebody's a false teacher, or he has really good discernment on there to help you to see if that person has been routinely putting out, you know, silly books or self-help books that are just not in the way of Scripture. So, you know, I would recommend that. And then even our friend Erin Bensinger of DoNotBeSurprised.com, she's got some great articles on there as well of, you know, a lot of teachers that women might be looking into, and she can give some good warning on those. But, you know, that's just a good kind of practical way to start doing that searching. And then, you know, if you go on Amazon.com, you can usually preview that book and kind of look at the table of contents or look at the footnotes and see who they quoted, kind of what we've already mentioned. And that's a good way to obviously not purchase the product until you investigate it, if you're not sure of what it is. Because you don't want to give, you know, your endorsement financially if you don't have to, and then get it to your house and be like, oh, I had no idea all this was in it, you know. So just check it out and, you know, line it up against the Word of God and see if it's going to be something, you know, profitable for you in that way.
Yeah, and sometimes on Amazon you can also find people who've done that legwork. They've done the reviews. Of course, there's a lot of negative reviews and people who just don't like anything. You kind of wade through those and look for the ones that have actually compared some of these things to Scripture and see if you can find any nuggets in there to see, you know, is this something that's going to edify me and my family, or is this something that's going to kind of take me off the path? And so that's another good place to look as well.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But, you know, obviously, like we said, you know, you just want to always be taking it back to the Word of God. That's never going to lead you astray. And, you know, check with pastors or other mature Christians in the faith. And, you know, if after you've gone through all these steps, if you're still kind of confused or whatnot, I always say, you know, ask someone who's more discerning than you, someone who's a mature Christian in the faith that you can tell by their lifestyle and by what they say and how they, you know, are engrossed in the Word of God, that their lifestyle is going to reflect that they're not going to try and lead you astray, you know. So seek out those types of people as well, you know, for their wisdom, because, you know, they've obviously been walking that journey a while, and they can be able to help you with some of that.
Amen. And I also recommend you can check out Lori Williams' site as well. Her and her husband, Vince, have a site called Falsified Ministries, and there's all sorts of wonderful articles on there for you to check out, and along with some very great scriptural sermons you can find on there. Lori, thank you so much once again for being with us at the table and for ministering to the ladies in our Google Plus group.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a joy to be a part of. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, that was our interview with Lori Williams. And if you would like to connect with her, we've got some information on our website. Also, ladies, if you are part of our G+ group, you can connect with Lori. You already know her because she has been talking with you. And if you don't know what our Google+ group is all about, check it out. We're on naomistable.com, and there's a little link there to find out about our community. It is for women only, and we're going to be talking more about that community with Lori very soon. Right now, what we'd like to do is play for you today's December Advent calendar event that our teacher Beth Seifert has put together. So here is today's devotional.
The ninth day of Advent, December 9th. The image for today is a map, and the verse is from John 14, verse 6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This was one of my favorite images to find for this project. I thought the map was such an appropriate image to remind us that Jesus is the way to God, the way to heaven. We're all following a map in our lives. We may be following a map that we have created, hoping that we have the directions right and we will end our journey where we want to. We may be looking at the right map, but decide that we don't need to follow the paths on the map to get to the destination. For example, we might decide that since our goal is to the east, we'll go west and eventually we'll get there. However, if we're following a map of our own creation or looking at a real map but deciding to take detours, chances are we aren't going to make it to our destination. The truth is there is only one way to heaven. There is only one way to God, and that way is through Christ. There aren't all paths to God. There is one. We have to be reading the map correctly and following the map correctly. And praise be to God, we have an internal GPS given to us in the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 7, Jesus even tells us that there are some who think that they are following him, but in one of the most frightening passages of Scripture, that not everyone who says to him, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 10, we see that all of those who deny him before man, he will deny before God. The Holy Spirit helps us to follow Jesus when we accept Jesus as our Savior, as the ruler and guide of our lives. If we don't accept him as our Savior and allow his Spirit to be our GPS, we have no hope of reaching the destination we hope for, eternal life with him. So today, check your atlas, check your direction, check your GPS, and be sure that you are using the true map, that you're following the right paths, and that you are headed to the eternal destination that you want to go to.
We equip women around the world to nurture others with the word. Want to partner with Naomi's Table? Consider being a business partner. Details at naomistable.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone.
It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Thanks, Amy. Well, today we're going to go ahead and jump into Romans chapter 10. We're only going to go through the first four verses. Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 are filled with a lot of things that can be very hard to hear. So we're kind of taking these a piece at a time. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 1 through 4. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Paul loves his Israelite Jewish brothers, and he desires that they may be saved. His calling to the Gentiles to share the good news with them doesn't mean that he's forgotten or abandoned his Jewish brothers. He takes no delight in Israel's fall. He knows that there are those among the Israelites, those who are truly zealous for God, who truly do want to please him and do his will, and that's a good thing. Unfortunately, their zeal is not based on knowledge of what will please him. Without understanding God's plan, they can't recognize what is actually going on in the world around them and respond to it accordingly. Their zeal is not based on truth. So, instead, they show their zeal in their legalistic conformity to the law and in their fierce opposition to the opponents of Judaism. And Paul, in Acts 22, verses 3 through 5, describes himself as zealous for God in his persecution of Christians. Paul understood the zeal that the Jews felt. They don't get that righteousness is what matters. It is the benchmark for everything else, but not their own righteousness. Through God's eyes, none of us are righteous. No Jew, no Gentile, no one. It is only through Christ's sacrifice that the law is fulfilled and righteousness comes to all who believe in him. The Jews sought to establish their own righteousness. They looked at the law given by God to Moses and said, "Okay, so what constitutes work on the Sabbath? Let's decide." They looked and said, "What does honor your parents mean? What does the bare minimum of honor look like?" They said, "Do not commit adultery means sex. Okay, so as long as I don't have sex with another man's wife, I'm okay. But anything else is okay, right?" It was based off of these rules that they created that they determined a person's righteousness. So those people who struggled with any of those things, they looked down upon as unworthy, as not good enough, as unrighteous. They divided themselves into the haves and the have-nots, instead of realizing that all of us fall into the have-nots when based solely on our own performance. The Jews understood that God was a righteous God, while missing out on what the resulting implications of that truth were. God's righteousness was revealed in the law, as we see his standards are clearly set out, and also all throughout the Old Testament. As a result, they should have been aware of their unrighteousness. Instead, we have the Pharisees who would pray, "Thank you, God, that I'm not like this man who's so awful. Thanks for making me awesome." They completely missed the point. It is only through faith in Christ that any sinner is made righteous, not through their own futile efforts to attain righteousness. Paul's word choice here, too, is telling. God's righteousness is an active force that we must humbly and obediently submit ourselves to in faith. Because Christ is the fulfillment of the law, all who come to him in faith receive the righteousness that he offers to justify us before God. This doesn't mean, by the way, that because we have Christ, the law is no longer useful. Believers are bound to God's law as it is now mediated in and through Christ, and the Mosaic law, just like all scripture, is useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. This is something that I think needs to be said. Many sincerely spiritual people are absolutely wrong in their beliefs. Any time that we rely on the rules of a denomination to save us, instead of relying on Christ and the Bible, we're lost. You may have a different list of rules that you feel must be followed, but if those are traditions and not scripture-based, then you're relying on your own ability to follow the rules to save you. You're not relying on Christ. Ladies, there are all sorts of things that we can place over and above Christ. Often, we have very moral people sitting in the church, but that morality is still based on a sense of, "I'm better than you are," not, "I'm a sinner just like you, but I'm grateful that Christ has redeemed me." When we look down on others because they aren't as churchy as we are, they don't tithe the correct percent or don't wear the right clothes, they don't worship the right way, standing, sitting, kneeling, hands raised, hands down, solemn, joyful, whatever. They ask uncomfortable questions that they should just know the answers to. All of those things. We're no better than the Pharisees at all. When we put more emphasis on the externals than on the change in the heart that only Christ can bring, we've missed the mark. Ladies, I say this today with the prayer that you will hear this and examine your hearts. Are you a follower of Christ, or are you a spiritual person? Christ is truly the only way to heaven. I'm not challenging that idea at all. But we don't want to be like the Jews who missed the Savior because they were looking at the law. We can attach our own list of qualifications with which we judge someone else's salvation, something we are never supposed to be doing, by the way. But to say that someone is obviously not saved because they came to church wearing jeans is absolutely ridiculous. To say that someone obviously must be saved because they are at church every Sunday is equally ridiculous. Just because I stand in the garage doesn't mean I'm a car any more than being in church means I'm a Christian. Where is your heart? Who is it following? Is it following him? Or are you still worried about what that other person is doing and measuring yourself up to them? Are you actively digging into the Word, seeking his will? Are you checking what you are taught at church or anywhere else for that matter against Scripture to make sure it is in line with his Word? Or are you acting like a baby bird, expecting the pastor to chew up the rough parts for you and just regurgitate it for you to swallow? Sorry for the graphic imagery there, but I'm serious. There's so many people who expect their pastor to do all their thinking for them, and they get angry when the pastor assumes they have knowledge, knowledge which they should have, and they don't have that knowledge because they've never put forth their own effort to learn and grow with God. You can't stay on spiritual milk forever, ladies. There comes a point where you won't be nourished by it anymore. You have to move on to meat. If you are content on the milk, you're malnourished in your soul, and it's not going to do you any good. Please take this warning to heart today. Spend time as often as you can with your Lord. Read his Word, his message to you. See for yourself what he says. Check all teaching against Scripture. Rely on Scripture alone. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that it is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Spend time in his Word, preparing yourself for what he has in store for you. Be nourished and fortified in him.
Thank you, Beth. All of our Bible study notes again on our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what we just heard.
Naomi's Table is 100% listener-supported, serving women around the world thanks to our listeners' generous gifts. Go to our website, naomistable.com, and click on the support button. And thank you for equipping us to equip women. The food is ready. Now, back to Naomi's Table.
Welcome back to the table. We are going to talk a little bit more about what you just heard in that segment prior. It was lesson number 33 in our study of Romans. And Nancy, we are all the way up in chapter 10 now of Romans. We've got a few more to go here. But really, we're talking once again about how we just want the bare minimum. God, just tell me what I need to do. And, you know, I've heard this said this way. We're a human being, not a human doing. Well, in Scripture, we are God's creation. And when we repent, we throw ourselves on his mercy. We become his regenerated child through faith. We are a being and a doing. So help us straighten us out here.
Oh, well, don't look to me to do it. But I just find it so touching. Paul's still mourning for his Jewish brothers, really. And the reason he's mourning for them is because they want to please God, but only their own way. They utterly reject God's way of doing it. And I think there are a lot of people that are sitting in churches now that are the same way. They want to add God to their lives instead of totally surrendering to him. And we give this mistaken impression through all sorts of confirmation classes, catechism classes, baptism. You go through the right steps. You go through the right rituals. You say the right sinner's prayer. You're good to go. And I think that we give people the mistaken impression. We never teach about denying yourself, taking up your cross, and follow him.
Yeah.
And that is critical, critical to becoming his.
Or if it's taught in a church or a class about, you know, dying to self and making it about him rather than us, we tend to go la, 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 la. We put our hands over our ears or we close them off and start thinking of something else because our fleshly hearts and ears don't want to hear that message. We want to hear, oh, God loves me. He delights in me and he thinks I'm awesome instead of, you know what, he's awesome and I delight in him.
Yeah.
because we don't want to. Our hearts aren't made that way. We still struggle with that sin nature, even though he's washed us clean and we don't have to worry about the condemnation part of it. We still have to obey him. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do.
How many times do you see Paul refer to himself as slave of Christ?
Yeah.
Slave. And, you know, I've had so many people say, oh, well, no, technically it means bondservant, which means you voluntarily submit to be a servant of someone, and they all want to go that word servant instead of slave.
Yeah, because that makes it my choice. Well, I can serve you today, but you know what? I'm going to stay in bed and not pick up my Bible and maybe pick up a favorite paperback instead.
Yes, but I actually love the term slave because that reminds me that once we commit to him, and this is why Jesus warns, you have to count the cost before you follow him.
Yeah.
But once we commit to him, we are no longer ourselves. That's why you've heard me preaching on this show so many times. You do not have a right to be offended anymore if you truly belong to him.
Yeah.
You've given all your rights to him. Therefore, if someone wrongs you, then they got to deal with him.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of times, Nancy, we think that our religion can save us, our particular flavor of where we go to church, and that's, you know, maybe not literally save us, but that's how we're good to go. Well, you know, I go to this church over here, and we do it this way. So, you know, the rest of you people, you don't quite measure up. And we talked about this briefly yesterday in the lesson about how we tend to judge other people who don't have the same maybe traditions as us. We ought to all have the same doctrine and be united around the truth of God's word and who Jesus Christ is in the full counsel of Scripture. You know, there are different expressions of how we love him that aren't wrong. It's just maybe a different tradition than somebody down the street is doing at their church. And Beth mentioned that, you know, and whatever, exactly. Way to go, Beth, because those are the things that don't matter. It's the heart and expression of how we worship, that we worship in that way, that we're totally yielded to him.
Yeah, it's like those people that leave one church because, oh, well, they sing too many hymns, and I just don't like that old stuff. I like the more modern stuff, or vice versa. And the thing is, you know, you're right. There's no Lutheran section, no Baptist section in heaven. There isn't. It's just heaven. And we are going to be worshiping in, I believe, all different ways, all different styles, all the time up there. And I'm not saying, okay, so you better get used to it now here on earth. No, you go ahead and worship in the way that you're comfortable. But you have to understand, it's not about your comfort. Worship is all about God. You do it for him. You have an audience of one, and that ain't you.
No, I know it, and I've actually heard jokes about that, you know, being told the kind of the Christian humor about, you know, well, the Baptists are up here, and the, you know, the Lutherans are over there, and the Methodists are here. You know, it's ridiculous because you're right. In heaven, there are followers of Christ, and there is a remnant of Christianity that is the true bride of Christ. And then there are a lot of those who think that they're good to go simply because, like you said, Nancy, we add him, and our flesh wants to do that. We want to have it our way, and we really never actually know who he is or ever submit to him. And I'm wondering if that's kind of what Jesus was talking about in the parable of the seed that he talked about.
Absolutely. And also when he said on that day, many will say to me, well, but Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and we did many good works in your name and many wonders in your name. And he's going to look at them and say, I never knew you. And that word for knew, I believe, is that intimate connection between a husband and wife. And that's why the metaphor is used for him being our bridegroom and us being his bride. Yeah, even you fellas out there that are listening, you're the bride of Christ. So we need to understand that level of intimacy, that level of knowing each other. And that is what he wants from us, not just a casual intellectual assent, head knowledge kind of thing. No, it's got to be your heart
Yeah, your heart and his heart. And how do we get to have that relationship? You know, we talked about this a little bit last week and when we covered that article on how to really obey all that Christ commanded. We have a great article on our website about that. You can check it out. But we talked about how, you know, you can say all the right things and think all the right things and take all the classes that you want. But it's that heart totally yielded to him. And how do we do that? How do we have that relationship with him? And it's knowing him through his word, through what he's actually said to us and what the writings are. And there is that knowledge that helps build the relationship that we ought to have. But we also need to be on our knees in prayer to our Lord in that intimate connection as well.
And I also like Beth's warning not to let your pastor do all your thinking for you. You need to know the word. You need to read the word. You can't have someone do it for you. And you don't want to go someplace that preaches nothing but messages that make you feel good. That's the worst thing you could have. Each one of us needs to be challenged so we grow. God said he disciplines those he loves. Well, discipline, obviously, we think of punishment, but discipline is actually instruction. Mm-hmm. And all of us need that discipline that instructs us in a way that convicts us of sin, that leads us to repentance, that gets us even deeper into his word and into that intimate knowledge of him.
Amen, Nancy. Well, ladies, we have to leave it here for right now. But when we come back, we are going to have some scripture for you to wrap everything up that you've heard today. And we'll do that in just a moment.
No junk food served here. Now, back to Naomi's table.
Well, ladies, as we wrap up this program, Nancy found some scripture for us to kind of tie up the loose ends here. Nancy, what did you find?
Well, we're going to go to Psalm 89, and I am going to start reading at verse 11, take it to 18. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it. You have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, high your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted, for our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel.
Everything we have belongs to him, and I'm so thankful that it does, Nancy. Well, ladies, we're going to end it here, but tomorrow we will be back with more lessons, more scripture, and more fun here at Naomi's Table as we dive into God's Word. Hope you can join us and invite a friend. Check us out, naomistable.com. You can find all sorts of other interesting articles and show topics there as well. So until tomorrow, have a blessed day in the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at Naomi's Table. We encourage you to head over to naomistable.com for resources, articles, Bible study guides, and much more. Until next time, be equipped and encouraged in God's Word.